do that, it might be helpful too to do a roll call.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay. I'm just going to go down the list of names that I see that are in attendance. So myself, Michael Yaffe with Michael Baker, Karin McGilvery with Michael Baker, Nick Ferrat, Michael Baker, and then external Ann Brickers, Karen Bell, AA, Carl Hunneman, Katie Conway, Keith Gruber, and then Shana Kilsone, and I apologize if I mispronounced your name, Tanya Jimmy, and then Tony Izzo. So,
and that's so, all I see. Well, we can just then proceed then. And I just want to maybe set the stage for a discussion. You know, I really view that this Statutes and Regulations Subcommittee is responsibilities is going to be to help identify the executable items that come out of the other subcommittees, you know, and try to put some meat on the bones with respect to some of those recommendations. And so I've got some comments to make about those, kind of what I see as picking the high points of what we're hearing from the other subcommittees at this point. And I must say that I have a little different perspective than some of the other subcommittees in terms of the volume of material to be compiled. I really think it is our responsibility to try to boil and synthesize this down so that it's not a compendium of every thought that has been discussed, but is somehow identifying those that we think are actionable and are priorities. And so I would view that as part of the responsibility of this subcommittee, and I hope the whole committee or the whole task force. But so to that end, you know, I can speak to that after we talk about some of the other things today. I've reviewed the material that the other subcommittees have reported out so far, and, you know, I have kind of a first pass at what I would identify as the priorities, but realizing that our work won't be done until the very end when the committee as a whole has kind of identified what the priorities should be. So I'll stop there, and Michael, go ahead.
That's a perfect segue into kind of some of the topics that I know I wanted to talk about, and this relates to kind of the coordination with the other subcommittees. And what I just put on my screen is kind of what I presented in July when Michael Baker was showing what the, you know, the final plan might look and feel like. So when we get to kind of the different subcommittees, there's going to be higher level categories that you can organize actions into. And one example of this is if you look at the data subcommittee, they did this in a way. It took them a 2-day working session to actually list it this far. So they created a high level category and then individual actions under each. So at the end, you know, when you get to the final report, it's going to be more like an executive summary. I know when I originally kind of presented in July, I was kind of referencing a complete comprehensive energy master plan for a state. Typically takes, you know, 1.5 to 2 years to compile for, you know, at the depth that you might see other plans being produced. But, you know, think of this more as a strategic plan with what are the high-level actions, to your point, Carl. So this is one way of organizing it. And then the coastal subcommittee, in particular, Duff, I know Robert, your co-chair, sits on that committee as well. Duff went ahead and he produced a document for consideration, and this has to be discussed at the task force level, for what he thought some of the categories that could be discussed in that executive level presentation. And we, Michael Baker, we definitely have some feedback on this. This is still considered draft, but for all intents and purposes, these high level categories kind of align with what we presented. So task and purpose action items, so essentially is the name of the action, background on the action itself,
Michael, are you trying to show your screen now, or should I pull up?
I apologize. I thought I was sharing the screen the whole time. Let me back up then.
Well, you may be.
Yeah. I thought I was presenting this screen when I was talking before.
Now I see it.
Yeah, Carl, to your point about it being, you know, at the end of this, the high level kind of where the high priorities are being strategic. When we initially presented to the task force in July, this was the kind of just like a little design vignette of what the final plan could look and feel like. And I apologize, I thought I was sharing this my screen before, but a high level kind of action strategy, and then the individual actions under this. And what I was referencing was, in a way, the technical subcommittee or the data subcommittee did this. It took them that 2-day technical working session to get to this point, but creating these high level categories, actions underneath it. So in a way, it's very similar to kind of what we were presenting back in July for, you know, at the end when you organize all of your actions. This is one way just to kind of organize it. So with that being said, we have the kind of incentives and subcommittees actions. I'm sorry, the statutes and regs. We just met with incentives and subcommittees, and there's a column that we unhid in the tracking sheet for strategy that we can have for this subcommittee as well, if we want to create that high level organization. And we can talk through that. But as overall, that's kind of the direction we were, you know, thinking of, you know, talking about for consideration for this meeting. In the meantime, we also have, this is where I apologize again. I thought I was sharing my screen when I was showing this. Duff from the Coastal Subcommittee kind of took a first task for consideration. And again, this needs to be discussed at a higher level with the complete task force. But what are some of the subcategories that you might consider presenting at this executive level presentation for these actions? So task and purpose action, you know, items, just the name of the action, background, what's the value proposition, and then, you know, the steps to implementation, how we get there. Duff even acknowledged, you know, he put in way more information than what might be readily available for a lot of these actions. He just is very familiar with this topic, so took a first pass at drafting it. We would in no way limit the information that's included in the plan. For the purposes of an executive level summary, we may reduce it and then include this other information in appendices. And, you know, some of these actions that are, you know, have a higher timeline, you know, further out may not have this detailed implementation, steps. So that's okay. Again, this is the level of effort for this. I think Duff said this took him 4 hours for this one action. And I think this is, you know, more than what may be required for a lot of these actions. For this plan, but if we have this information, let's definitely include it. So timeline, expected results, and then overall, those are the high-level categories that may get included for the action. So I just want to pause here, and I know there's a lot of information I just quickly kind of ran through, and just want to open it up for discussion. And I recognize, Carl, we were waiting for Robert and then the guest speaker, Gary, and I'm not sure where we are. I see Gary just hopped on and as Robert joins.
I think Gary is on now. Good morning, Gary. This is Carl.
Hi, Carl. Yeah, Gary's on. Sorry for a delay in finding myself here, but I'm here.
Okay. Well, if we might, since you did join, we did wanted just, you said maybe 10 minutes. I'd like to keep it to that, but would appreciate your perspective. You've distributed some information on the King Cole PCE hydroelectric project, and thank you for providing some of the information. So I would just offer you an opportunity to share your perspective, and we might have some questions. I certainly have a couple of questions, but go ahead.
Sure. Well, thank you, Carl, and others on the task force. So, King Cove has found itself in a interesting situation where up until recently it didn't appear that we were going to meet the requirements for any PCE, but in the last month I have forced myself to take another look and to know that some things have changed, mostly the cost of fuel, that getting our updated approved weighted cost of fuel is going to add some additional cost. We're going to have a few other non-fuel costs, so that when we finally get back in the groove and do our FY23 RCA PCE report, I think we will be eligible now for somewhere between a 3 and a 4 cent PCE, which will translate roughly into about $70,000. So for that, we would be happy, but we have still taken the attitude that we would like to find a way to get close to the average annual PCE payments that we were getting for the 5 years prior to Waterfall Creek coming online, and that's that $110,000 figure that I'm putting in my email or in my memo. And the way we get to the other $40,000, it wouldn't be new revenue, but it is basically what I call saved revenue by being able to reduce our loan with the Power Project Fund from AEA. And we would like to be able to suggest that if the statutes could be amended to allow the AEA director to approve a loan at a lesser than the going 52-week market rate, whatever exactly it is called. And because the city is in a position to buy down a portion of that debt, that refinancing about $880,000 of our existing loan, which is a little bit under $1.4 million now, and if we could get a 1% interest rate, that would be annually about $40,000 a year. So that reduction there from our current $78,000 a year in debt service would be significant in helping the city accrue a combination of PCE subsidy and reduced cost on that debt, and that would get us close to that $100,000 number that I'm striving for. The whole long history is the city took on a lot of risk. There was a lot of worry. So far, it's worked out because Mother Nature has been good to us, but the cost and what it's put the city through, at the same time we're not able to give our residents any PCE, or excuse me, any rate reduction right now, has been weighing heavy on my mind for a long time. And I would admit that probably a year or two ago, when I was first trying to portray the situation, I was not doing as good of a job as I think I am now, simply because I've spent the time to get a little bit more well-versed in what's going on here. I guess the biggest thing that it comes down to is I look at the very end of my most recent memo, looking at other communities that are sort of similar in size and production with the amount of renewable energy, and I still don't know how to rationalize the fact that King Cove, while I'm showing that we're getting zero for a PCE, is now going to actually be no longer zero, since I've got a little bit smarter on that. But when I look at INEC and HUNA and Gustavus. Those are three utilities comparable in size to King Cove, and I'm saying there's still something either in the formula or what King Cove is doing that tells me that there's got to be some ability to adjust something here. So that's sort of where I'm at.
Yeah, thanks, Gary, for bringing that detail forward. A couple questions. How has the debt service that your community has incurred for these hydro projects, how has that been included in the rates for your residential customers? For example, when you determine your rates for comparison to the PCE, is it included at all? Is it amortized over 50 years, 20 years? How is it included?
Sure. So in the PCE regulations, we're allowed to get, you can annually deduct the interest, and then you have to depreciate the major capital components over 50 years. So the depreciation value doesn't add up to a whole lot. And we would like to somehow say, all right, at least let the debt service that we pay each year, both the interest and the principal, which is like right around $225,000, be the actual number that we can somehow use in the PCE calculations. And by virtue of allowing us, that number, and again with the recent cost of fuel, it's not recent, it's over the last 3 years, and, part of the issue in King Cove is that we weren't filing our reports.
So you've been 50-year depreciation, and what's the term of your loan from AEA?
It's 57 years at 4.432, and it was a bad loan, not because of AEA, but because the city got into a bind right at the very end. So we decided we got to get a loan because we had incurred the cost, and then later we can come back and refinance the terms of that loan, which is what we're now willing to do. But the thing I want to make note is the city is saying, but we'll buy down $500,000 debt of that current remaining balance of $1.38 million. We'll buy down $500,000. So we want to refinance $880,000, preferably at 1% interest, and then using the Caligany precedence of 2014, where they got either 3 or 4 years of no payments whatsoever, that simply got rolled into, the rest of the loan later. That's the deal that King Cove is trying to see if possible. So that then will give our electric fund balance the revenue that we need to reduce our rates, at the same time continue to build up our reserve and repair account, and be in a position so that when we got to replace $250,000 turbine runner, that we can do that without having to take out any debt.
Sure. So thank you for that high-level summary. I know it's short, but may I ask if any other committee members have any questions of Gary? I see Keith Kerber.
Yes, thank you, Carl. Hey, I was following along this issue with interest. I became aware of this about a year ago when I became the chair and got a kind of an update from Curtis there. And so, Gary, could you scroll your sheet back towards the top? You refer to a statute, I believe, and 42. 45, got it. Okay, good. I wasn't sure in the quickness, it was there for a second and it scrolled down. I was thinking 4205, that's me, but I believe that that amendment, that statute you're indicating, does that refer to the AEA part of PCE? Gary, could you just give me some background on that? I didn't get a chance to Google it because I was thinking it was mine. I pulled it out. We do not have a 42.05.010. We do have a 42.05. So anyway, could you help me with that, please?
Right. It's the provision in statute that lays out the parameters for the Power Project Fund.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And, Carl, that just as an FYI, I was checking my statute to make sure that it didn't implicate me. I think it affects AEA. So thank you for that, Gary. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions from committee members? Well, thank you, Gary, for bringing that forward. I think you can well appreciate that the task force may not be able to drill down into the details of each individual PEC issue throughout the state, but we are very interested in the overall structure of the PCE and equity between the rail belt and rural Alaska, and ensuring that that gets implemented in an equitable way going forward. And so you bringing forth this particular issue helps us better understand the PCE, and I thank you for that.
And I appreciate those comments, Carl, and the rest of the committee, and we will stand by. I guess the only comment I would make is that King Cove is really in this unique category all by itself, and that's been part of the problem of saying there needs to be some changes. If other communities that are renewable like we are, we're experiencing this issue, then there would be some strength in numbers, but unfortunately that's not the case. So I guess we'll just leave it at that for the time being, but I do appreciate you all always giving me the courtesy of a couple minutes of reviewing and hearing about it.
Okay. Carl, this is Michael, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
This document was also shared by Gary. It looks like a summary of proposed changes to that statute.
Right. Right. It was circulated to the committee, I believe, by email.
Okay. And if it wasn't, we'll put it online, the SharePoint site.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
So now I guess we can kind of pull back into thinking about the statutes and regulations work plan and kind of coordination going forward. I do know, there's obviously a lot of work left to do amongst the committees where there are several, there's overlapping recommendations and there are competing recommendations. And so the committee as a whole is going to have to sort all that out. And as it comes down to establishing what the priorities are for this, this subcommittee. And I must say that, so there's a list of items on here. Robert's right now on the phone with us now today. What we need is kind of a brainstorming working session to identify what we think are the priorities that we should start pulling into our statutes and regulations committee. But I'm going to say first I'll ask if there's any other committee members that have any comments or guidance. If not, I might spend a few minutes with my thoughts on what the other committees have identified so far in terms of how we kind of support that, that things that actually could take statutes or regulations to implement. But before I might do that, I ask if other committee members have any comments or suggestions at this point.
Carl, Keith.
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Hey, this is this is something I've been thinking about for a while now, especially as they presented, and I'd say most notably the rail belt, which is not in any way, shape, or form to, you know, place them or place the coastal or the rural generation group or even incentives or subsidies or the database people are the last thing. But in listening to these presentations and in looking at various symposiums, I hadn't seen them all. I certainly was rapidly listening to the one last Thursday because it's just a personal interest of mine, the Advanced Insula. But just with my meager participation in a couple of legislative sessions, one as the chairman this year, and last year as sort of a apprentice chairman with then Chair Pickett, is that I think we have to be very judicious in what we put forward as the things that need statutory or regulatory fix because of the what the capacity of the legislature is or the governor, and then of course the executive agencies that are going to respond to whatever legislative proposals are made to put forward, right? And so I think I look forward to the conversation that we got coming up now, the especially, you know, what's our plan for additional meetings to discern and sort of rack and stack the current ones that we have identified, but also see how they integrate with the other ones. Because I don't know if it was you or someone else in our, you know, on our committee, subcommittee, or just another member of the task force, and I'm a non-voting member, so I mean, I'm trying to fulfill responsibilities to help aid in the process of statutes and regulations. That's my focus. But there's been a lot of discussion about things like matching funds and things like that, which will take legislative action. And even to get the build-out of the potential build-out of the transmission assets that would make the rail belt more robust and hopefully bring down costs there, which could have hopefully a concurrent impact on all of Alaska through the PCE fund. I'm just throwing out that I think that what you're doing here and trying to sort of highlight what the bigger issues are here, I think it's fantastic and I'm behind it 100% because there's a lot of bills that are put forward in a session and there aren't that many that get passed. And so, especially given the urgency of what we've heard in these symposiums or through other means like cooking the natural gas supply and other things, labor issues, supply chain issues, I just think that what we have in ours, we have to certainly make a decision on where we see those in the overall scope of thing, but also which ones are going to require statutory actions by our fellow subcommittees that we may need to place in a higher priority even than some of the ones we have on ours. So that's all I wanted to throw out as we begin the conversation.
Yeah, well, thanks, Keith. And I think our priorities will necessarily be those that are driven by the other subcommittees. And I just thought I'd put some out there to kind of give a sense for how I think this group needs to prioritize in terms of its, the recommendations that we put forth. Let me first ask if there's anybody from Senator Bishop's office on the phone with us today.
Hi, good morning. Ann Richards from Senator Bishop's office is here.
Yes, hi, Ann. Thank you for joining us. I must say that I believe that the task force as a whole overall has yet to hear from Senator Bishop on some of his vision for energy development and in Alaska. And I think the last meeting we were on, he was having technical difficulties and was not able to share his thoughts. So I think the task force as a whole, really needs to hear from him. I know he's got a strong perspective and we may or may not agree with it. It's important to get it on the table, for everybody's benefit. So, Anne, do you know when we might be able to make that happen?
Yeah, I'm happy to bring that back to him. He's out of his mind right now without any communication, but I will definitely bring this back and get something to the subcommittee on that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, given that we're working closely together amongst the subcommittees, I mean, I think bringing it to the Rail Belt Committee or our Statutes and Regulations Subcommittee or the Task Force as a whole, either of those would probably work in terms of scheduling. So you could work with Michael Baker and maybe figure out when that could occur.
Sounds great. Thank you.
That would be useful. Okay, then just kind of starting down the list, you know, for example, we take the rail belt. You know, if I was to say what efforts that this statute and regulation committee should get behind, it'd be behind their pending effort to consolidate transmission line ownership within the state and to pursue all the federal funding available for those transmission lines and structure our state energy authority and our state legislature and our efforts to do that. It would be move with all due haste with the Dixon diversion and whatever it takes, appropriation or engineering or the efforts behind that. And there may well be more. And the rural committee, local match for federal funding is something we've got to structure ourselves appropriately. I think that's the biggest lever we could pull in the short term. On coastal, I think it's to identify, study, and permit low-cost hydro projects. One thing, and maybe Curtis or someone else from AEA may be on the line, but early on I asked if there was a compilation of hydro projects in Alaska that recommended for development, and I did get a spreadsheet that had 242 or something on there, but no efforts really. I was unable to synthesize and identify the priorities. What are the top five? What's their capacity, what's their CapEx, what's their OpEx, and which ones should we be behind? Maybe that information is available. If it is, I think it would be great to bring it forward to the task force. If it's not available, then that's certainly a data gap, because we know from worldwide experience that hydro is one of the only opportunities for low-cost power. And if we've got to at least have a clear catalog of the priorities, their CapEx, their OpEx, and I think start permitting them for the day when we have higher loads. Incentives and subsidies, streamline permitting.
Sorry to interrupt, but Curtis had his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, just to let you know, AEA only has Dixon and statutorily Sitna-Wantana as the only two hydro projects that we are currently, by statute, operate or responsible for. The list that was given is all the hydro projects, but not everybody tells AEA what hydro project they're working on or the status of it is. We do have funding. We have invested through the Renewable Energy Fund and through the Power Project Fund. We have a list of what we have of those that are currently in development with state funds or have received a loan from the state. But again, it doesn't capture everything across the state. So we can hold.
Is that second sub-list available?
Yeah, I can get you the list of the ones that are currently under the Renewable Energy Fund and also ones we've done the PTF loan fund on, those two. But again, that's just a handful of the opportunity out there. I know, for example, that the rail belt utilities such as Chugach Electric is working on one outside of Seward, but beyond them sharing information, we don't know the status of it.
Right. But how, you know, how as we as a state, how can we get behind things that we don't even know about? You know, and maybe it's, maybe that speaks to our issue of fragmentation and lack of consolidation of generation facilities, et cetera, and it's all still a competitive environment. And I understand that, but maybe that, looking at isolate, maybe that's, you know, part of the problem. And as well, we heard the other day of a 100 megawatt combined maybe potential in Prince William Sound that is not that far from the rail belt. And, you know, and we heard also about Pico River some time ago with, that's now on the isolated Glen Allen grid, but lots of opportunity there. So that's really, I think, important for Alaska. So, yes, any other? I'm sorry, I didn't see. Yes, there is. Oh, Kurt, your hand's still up. Is that?
And it's coming down.
Okay, thanks. So incentives and subsidies to streamline permitting and establish maybe renewable energy or transmission line land designations so that, again, for streamlining permitting development of these projects. State energy data, they certainly established this establishment of the data department when AEA is a priority and have really put the details behind that. And then others for statutes, and our regulations, our committee, we might bring forth, this issue that transmission distribution lines need to continue to share the DOT right of ways. And I think, Curtis, you mentioned that maybe that can be handled administratively. And if everybody gets comfort in that, we don't include it in the report, or maybe we include it in the report and expect it to be handled, administratively. So I'll stop there and just ask for perspective, feedback. Obviously, nothing's final. Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Carl. You know, just a thought on the, I'll only take a minute and think out loud around the transmission issue, and as you mentioned, DOT as well. As the rail belt today, looking as a group, and I hired Brian Hickey as, you know, as the executive director of the rail belt coordination, and so he's the tip of the spear. He's leading the efforts around the GRIP applications. We often don't mention it, but if, you know, if we were to receive all of that funding, if we were to receive the matching funds, you're still looking at probably 15 years to build out what we believe would be an energy highway that could facilitate economic development, could facilitate different types of generation, and all the other good things we've talked about. Maybe what I'm thinking of is a recommendation, if we consider a recommendation that the state take a look at, or at the administrative level, take a look at the need for significant transmission infrastructure and direct DOT and request partnerships, compliance, however you want to put it, with the various communities to expedite that, that whole process. 15 years is a long time. I have very recent experience as of like last week where the Planning Commission in the Matsu Borough was, it was shot down, but there was an effort to include compensation for the loss of scenic views for transmission. And the way it was written, would not have included anything underground, would not have included above ground telephone, cable TV. It was very specific to electric and transmission. There's one particular party who, you know, the projected path of this would be along a section line easement at the edge of their property, so not on their property. You know, having a unified effort at a statewide level to say, look, this is really important, let's try to avoid obstructions and delays. At the same time, you know, we want to honor people's property rights, but I think you've got, the state already has these corridors for utilities. I'm certain we could cut years off this process if we had a, you know, master plan that said, okay, here's where we need to go from here to here. You do the actual study, routing study to determine, you know, what's best, and without violating people's rights. If you're going to be impacted in some ways, we built gates, we built fences, we do those kinds of things. But my fear is that I'm dealing with 20 miles of transmission, and if we start talking about something that's exponentially higher than that, it isn't going to be 15 years. It's going to take us 50 years, and there's always that one individual or parties that could say, look, you know, the value of my loss of my scenic view of this thing running through the trees with a clear right-of-way that allows four-wheelers to, you know, run along my property is, you know, who determines that? And it becomes just extremely difficult. And it seems like that's where the world is headed. So I would just push us towards an overarching policy recommendation to support the facilitation and expedite the prudent process of permitting these things.
Yeah, well said and understood, Tony. Any other comments from committee members? Any feedback on my brainstorming list? Maybe what I'll do is put those into the spreadsheet in a very crude fashion, but it'll allow everyone to take a look. I did note, you know, something that's going to be important for the task force to resolve is within some of the other committee recommendations, incentives and subsidies particularly, you know, there's several mentions of incentives or tax credits to attract private investment into generation transmission. And so we'll, you know, I understand the generation side, but, you know, if our goal is to get efficient with transmission around the state and maybe get state ownership and state buy-in on federal dollars, where we're going to have to resolve whether we're going after on both ends of the spectrum or not. And I think we'll have to do that at the task force level.
Carl, this is Michael. I just had when we're thinking about prioritization, there's other categories too that you might consider, but to Keith's point earlier, I know identifying the time frame for implementation, when we go through this, we might want to reevaluate that if there's ones that are more immediate than others, because right now I don't know if any are identified as immediate. And we do still have some of the APA policy positions that are still noted and not officially kind of incorporated yet, if the subcommittee would want to recognize them as being recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of identifying, sure, timelines, we need to.
Carl, this is Keith Kerber.
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
Going back to your sort of initial sort of foray into the, what are the highest priority ones? That's what you just read is kind of what I was thinking in terms of, especially in conversations we've had, not just at our subcommittee, but also at the task force level about, you know, the granularity we're going to get with this program. And also with Michael's just comments about sort of the executive summary vision of the whole package that's going to be presented. And I also not only excited about hearing from Senator Bishop, but also Representative Rauscher, because it's going to take both the House and the Senate, I think, together to help give us a sense of the way ahead. And so I like the direction that you're going. I also appreciate the additional sort of context that Tony just gave us, because just from my perspective, you know, 10 to 15 years is a long time. And if there was something that we could do as a task force, not just our subcommittee, but as a task force, that might be able to be quickly actioned to head us in a direction that could bring about the kind of changes that the governor wants, knowing that, you know, when you hear those kinds of timelines from Tony and other industry professionals, I think that those are sobering indeed. So I just think that based on what we've heard from the beginning of this meeting on, those initial ones sort of sat well with me. And just to go back to the comment about the APA thing from Michael, you know, in some of the other committees, they would look like, you know, the longer term things to address once we have a clearer picture of what the vision of the actual execution of the plan might look like. Because some of them, maybe if we address them now, they may be affected by changes that get made by they get actually actioned by the legislature and the governor, or future governors and legislatures that are going to even affect those requests from APA, because they might be overcome by events. So that's all I throw out for you on that.
Yeah, I would agree. Thank you. Any other comments, guidance, recommendations? Michael, is our next meeting still scheduled September 12th?
Let me pull up the agenda. I have it. Yeah, it's scheduled September 12th. And then I know Tony's on just to mention this, the Rail Bell, that they are meeting for kind of a full day session on September 14th. So if you are looking at other subcommittees, I know they may have more updates after that date.
Great. Yeah, we have to be looking at other subcommittees. I mean, that's is the Rail Bell still have a meeting this afternoon at 3?
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'll put my initial thoughts into that spreadsheet in the rough and tumble fashion. It'll start giving us an idea of things to discuss, at least at the subcommittee level or committee level. And Curtis was going to distribute the hydro project information that AEA is involved with. And is there any other action items from this meeting?
There's one thing on the agenda that we didn't necessarily talk about, but it kind of is in line with the coordination with the other subcommittees. I know the incentives and subsidies subcommittee did share the climate exchange site that had some legislative actions from around the country. Launch Alaska kind of shared that through Isaac and Penny. And we're happy to, Michael Baker is happy to take a look at that and pull any that might be relevant to Alaska for consideration.
Yeah, that, I guess, I mean, you think this committee's got scope to address climate change in the next month?
Well, any that are in line with the scope of the subcommittee, I'll rephrase that, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, see, happy to review it. If you bring something forward that's relevant, that we certainly take a look at it. Okay, well, thank you everyone for your input. I think unless there's further comment, we'll stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
All right,
thank you
much.
Me and we, Carl.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.